There he is. All right. We are now recording.
All right.
So as you were saying, you had a question for me.
Oh, yeah. Did you buy into this secret layer drop series?
The super drop?
Yes, the super drop. Let me see. What are our super drops here? So it is a box of rocks. The Seb McKinnon art series, which I think is absolutely fantastic. The Happy Little Gathering basic land series, the Party Hard Shred Harder series, and the We Hope You Like Squirrels series.
No, I did not buy any of these. Although I do want to talk about and appreciate for a moment, I think they are good drops. I just don't have any interest in buying them for myself. I like that these drops aren't crazy chase rares. There's nothing too wild in here. It's just kind of fun alternate art stuff. That's what a super drop should be.
Yeah, I actually really, really like all of these drops. The box of rocks is actually like playable, like mana rocks. Arcane Signet, Commander Sphere, Chromatic Lantern, Gilded Lotus, Dark Still Ingot kind of sucks, but
stuff's great. Like, I mean, this is the, you know, this is the first ever episode of Becoming Timmy. So I can say that mana rocks do interest me a little bit right now. Like that might be something I'm in the market for. But I figured there were way sweeter versions of those mana rocks I can go and spend my money on if I so chose to. And, you know, I had to buy a Jeweled Lotus because of you. So we have financial limitations now. Becoming Timmy here. So
yes, Becoming Timmy.
Well, I guess with that, welcome back to Forcing Spike. You've got Justin on the East Coast, Chris out here on the West Coast. Justin, how are you doing this evening?
I'm really good, man. The world's a crazy place, but I'm hanging in there.
Likewise. So it's actually been a little while since we've posted an episode, and there are going to be two episodes going live this week. So thank you all for humoring our little bit of a vacation here. Vacation, I guess, hiatus, whatever you want to call it. But we have been working on some new things to try here at Forcing Spike, because it's a slow time in Magic. Let's be honest. The holidays are always slow in Magic news. You know, the meta gets a little stale. I do well in stale metas. I actually hit Mythic last month. Like we didn't even talk about it like on the episode at all.
That's right. It's
with a 65% win rate, and like we didn't talk about it once, but like that's because
your stint to Mythic in like 20 some hours.
It was 17, bro.
That was 17. Hours. See? Yeah. Even better than that, man.
Whew. That's not bad at all.
Yeah. On fire.
So, you know, Muxus is broken. Uro is broken. Like, play those cards. Those things will get you there.
Those are good Magic cards for sure.
Yes. Yep. Confirmed. If Chris Dunn can hit Mythic with them, they are good Magic cards. So, you know, anyway, slow time. And we did have a set release just very recently here. And Justin texted me about a week before Thanksgiving and asked me if I'd be interested in trying a Commander League. And we have spent some time thinking through how to make that a reality here on Forcing Spike. So last week's episode was actually us the night before Thanksgiving opening some boxes of Commander Legends, talking a little bit about what we might build, what routes you can go with building a Commander deck, a sealed Commander deck from a box, and mostly it was me complaining about not having any idea what was going on. So rather
that is a lot of the episode.
That is a ton of the episode. Rather than post it last week, we wanted to give the context to you all this week, and we'll be posting that as a bonus episode the day that this goes live. So it'll be a twofer for Forcing Spike, and you can listen to Chris have a couple holiday cocktails and get more frustrated as Justin opens sweet cards and I opened like, what the fuck is this? So
it's just the stuff I opened was very like linear and on rails, and the stuff you opened was not.
Yes, like there was no obvious route for the new guy to Commander. So
I have
to think more with my box. But with that, Justin, we are in the business of making a sealed Commander League. We have rolled it out to a few of our friends here on Forcing Spike. So Rahelio and Brian have played a couple games and they've opened a box themselves. Can you talk a little bit about what the Commander League is, how it operates, how to play games remotely in the time of COVID?
Yeah.
All that fun stuff. Like, break it down. How have you been doing this? Because you've been playing a game at least once a night.
And for a while now, I've been getting some. The big thing was just learning how to set up spell table. Spell table is great. So spell table, I believe, was made by a third party, but bought by Wizards of the Coast. And it is a website where you can log in with your Wizards of the Coast username and password. It's the same data that you use to log into Magic Arena. You can log into Spell Table and you can set up games, and it generates unique game link URLs that you can send to your friends and invite them to play Magic. It was kind of designed for Commander, but you don't have to play Commander. You can play Sealed over it. It's got a life counter, a poison tracker, a Commander damage tracker, a turn tracker. It's quite good. It has a card identifier. So if you are, if there's a card that is, you know, reasonably displayed, you can actually like click on your opponent's cards and it will show you like a blown up version of what the card is with its rules text. It's really nice. That has been the only way that I've been able to play paper Magic. I mean, I've heard about Spell Table for like months now, and I finally was just like, man, I need to like touch some real Magic cards or I'm going to have a meltdown.
So you've been playing Magic over Spell Table, and I'm assuming using Discord to talk to people, because I don't know if Spell Table... Does Spell Table have audio? Does it support any of that?
Spell Table does have audio, but it's not really good. I've used both. I've used the Spell Table audio, and I've played
the Discord audio, like, and the Spell Table.
Exactly.
Video. Sure. So that's great. That's how we're playing. You know, does Spell Table do they run leagues, or is it just a place to set up a game?
It's just a place to set up a game. It is not a. It doesn't have any like tournament software.
Okay. So before getting to that then, because like I think this episode's about like what we'd want the league to be. And before we get to running tournaments, we need to see if there's even any interest. But right now we've got four people interested in buying. Let's talk about like the details, right? Like how does one do a Commander League? Like,
yeah. So how do you play in a Commander boxing league? This was something that like Brian David Marshall does a lot, and a lot of the old washed pro tour guys hang out and do these boxing leagues.
Hey, you know, be coming to me.
Yeah. So it's you open a booster box. It is traditionally, I guess it's supposed to be any set that was standard legal. So you open 36 packs. Of course, with this sweet Commander set coming out, I was just like, dude, we got to open like a Commander Legends box. And you get way more rares and there are, you get way more legends and there are way more options. From that box, you make a real Commander deck. You know, the a 99 singleton with a commander, or 98 singleton with two partner commanders. And you play however many, you know, Commander games you want. If you want to play two or three with just your box deck, that's great. And then, you know, you can track wins or set it up however you want. But the following week or whenever you want to spice it up, each person in the league then buys six packs of another set. To add,
it has to be one set. Like you can't six, go three, six, three,
six,
two, two,
no,
two.
It should be six of one set.
The same set, or can you change sets?
So you can change sets from. So you are supposed to get 6 packs from a set that you have not gotten any packs from yet, including your box. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah. So you get your box, and then the following weeks you pick some other set and you get 6 packs of that. You open those, and those are added to the card pool to build your commander deck. You might get a sweet new commander and rebuild your deck entirely for the league, or you might get some sweet cards. Like I can tell you right now, I'm going to go get, some Ixalan and Rivals of Ixalan booster packs for my deck because I have a pirate deck and it's dope.
Right.
I just need more pirates.
Yeah. So, okay. So we'll get into like the cards we opened in a second here, but just, yeah, you know, as far as the rules go, a commander boxing league is everyone who wants to join the league needs to buy a box of some set. We are saying, yeah, standard.
A set that was standard legal. It is,
or Commander Legends, like we're allowing,
or Commander Legends. Yeah, that's what we did. I mean, and we may just run one, you know, with us, and then we may start like a, I don't know, maybe we'll start a separate one in January.
Yeah, I mean, I would be able to start over, like, right, like we're trying to figure this out if it's something that people are interested in, and I think you know we have an unfair advantage here where we've had more time, right? We've opened our packs. We're like messing with the decks a little bit. Like it's not like we could just go join a league and say it's even footing, but we've got this group before that, you know, we're playing with right now. So anyway, when you say standard legal set though, you don't mean like collector's boosters. Like you can't get a collector's box and then.
No. Yeah. You want to get, right? Again, because that's high octane, right? So no collector's products, no supplemental products. So like no Conspiracy, no Modern Horizons, no Modern Masters, because those are all really high octane sets.
So and draft booster boxes from any standard legal set or Commander Legends.
Or Commander Legends. Yep.
Got it. Okay. Every week you can introduce 6 new boosters from a set you've not introduced yet to your card pool. You don't have to, but you can. You have the option to. Like I'm guessing if people like have budgetary concerns are there.
Yeah,
right? Like,
exactly. You don't have to, but the idea is that, you know, you would, you know, it is a way to keep the league from just being kind of the same decks every single week. You know, if you want to try to open Legends, like another really good set for this would be Dominaria, because Dominaria was so legend heavy.
Yep.
I can tell you what, another set, Gavin Verhey in his, video on it, he opened up 6 packs of War of the Spark, a Planeswalker in every pack is hard to turn down. But those are all things that like you can think about. You can, if you don't like any of the legends you have, you can open like six Dominaria packs, and then you're going to get at least 6 new legends that you might be able to build your deck with.
That Moldrotha deck, right? You got to go get it.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. So
I actually think Dominaria would be a terrible set to do a booster box to start with, because everyone would just play like the Moldrotha deck or something, right?
Like, so everybody would play like the sweet mythic legend that they got. And that's the thing, is I guess there's about a coin flip chance of opening up Moldrotha, but that like the people that got it would definitely open it,
right? Like, yeah, you'd make it work.
They would just do it.
Yeah. So as far as the games go, do you do 1-on-1 commander or do you have to do a multiplayer game?
So you can set it up however you want. I really like the idea. If you're going to do a league, you can, it's nice to do it with at least 4 people and just play a 4-person game.
Once a week, do a 4-person game.
Yeah. Or if you want to do more than one game, like there's no set like way that you're supposed to do it. If you want to get more games with your cards, you know, you can take an afternoon and you can play 2 or 3 commander games.
Sure.
And then, you know, next week, add your 6 packs and then play 2 or 3 more commander games. And, or you can set a time limit, however many games we can get in 2 hours or 3 hours.
Yeah. But if you're like, so I know commander is all about having fun, but if you are keeping score, right, and you want to do a league, you know, how do you
track?
I imagine it's pods, right? Like you just go, okay.
Yeah. So if you have a bunch of people, you would set up pods of 4, ideally.
Okay. Pods of 4. And then you say,
and then great. You track the wins.
But if we're making rules, like if we say, hey, like Forcing Spike community, if you want to get in on this, like what kind of rules might we want? You know, do we want to say it's 1 4-person game a week? Do we want to do try to do two because you can have multiple commander decks like from your card pool?
Ideally the way I would set it up would be two games just to get more people with wins. It would just make it more like I would say two league games per week with any three or four people that you could get together to play a league game. Because there will be people, that can't necessarily get four. Like if you have six people together, you can play a group of three.
I would cap it at four players at the spell table. Right.
Well, spell table caps it at four. So you can only do up to four. So it'd say groups of three or four. Just so that it can be done with spell table. And then you can play two league games per week. And we'll run it for 4 weeks. So you add packs three times.
Let's ask the Discord. Two games a week or one game a week? Because people we are going into the holidays, but people's time, it's hard. Like, I mean, it might be hard for me to get four games in or two 4-player games in a week, right? Like it's
sure. It would definitely be a little bit of a challenge.
Sure. Right. And recording. Right. So like, that's kind of what I'm considering is we got to record an episode every week.
Exactly. And
I get two free evenings. Yeah. Yeah. Probably I can get two free evenings a week, but one of them is dedicated to this podcast. So
yes.
For all you listeners out there, you're the reason I'm not playing my PlayStation 5 once a week. So
what a crybaby.
Yeah, I know, right? So this sounds pretty cool. I'm excited to do it. I'm excited to like work out the kinks with Brian and Rahelio to get started. But if you are interested in doing this, we are interested in facilitating a community to do it in. So let us know. Like in the episode discussions channel in our Discord, you can always find the link in the show descriptions. If you want to join and you want to hang out and do a Commander Boxing League with us, let's do it. Like we can talk about details in the Discord. Like when does it start? What box do we start with? How do we move forward with how many games per week, et cetera? I think it's open to conversation, but we wanted to throw it out there to all of you to see if you want to do something fun during this slow time in Magic. I imagine we could probably get a full league in. What does a league last? Like a month? Like 4 weeks?
Yeah, so I think 4 weeks is a good way to do it. You could keep going, but then, I mean, I just feel
your decks start to get ridiculous, right?
Things get a little repetitive at that point. Like after, at that point, you'll have opened two boxes worth of boosters. Like some of the day, like you'll be really close to just playing like
budget commander,
basically. And I don't think that's necessarily the most fun way to do that. I think 1 month is a really good length of time for 4 weeks to run
these. So let's say this week's about the conversation. And if we get people to sign up, that gives everyone a week to go get a box that wants to do it. So like we'd probably be targeting a start date of this for right before Christmas. That would be my guess. Right? Like if this episode goes live tomorrow on the 3rd. Yeah.
So we can lock in the rules over that week, and then
by the 8th, because that's the day before we record, so we can prepare to make sure people understand how it's going to work, and then we can start the league probably the week of the 14th, probably the 16th, right? Like maybe we can have a hangout party, open our boxes, like see face-to-face people, like whatever, like if people want to join like a chat channel, we can just kind of have a party and open them up.
Yeah.
And go from there.
Yeah. Open boxes that, and then, I'd say every Tuesday you can add your six packs.
Something like that. Right.
I mean, I think that sounds great.
We'll figure it out. It's going to be rough the first time we do it. With
changelings would also be a really good, really good pack set.
You're a man of expensive taste. Because you're not going to buy a box, right? But that means you're buying loose packs. That's feel bad, right? Like Lorwyn booster box.
I just want to get the changelings to put in Lorwyn
booster box is $1,000.
That's absurd. Are you kidding me?
No, that's on TCG Player. Card Kingdom has it for Card Kingdom gave me a search result and then gave me a we don't sell that page.
Oh, that's awesome. Oh,
shit. Annie just scared the hell out of me. One second. God, dude, yeah. I kept thinking I kept seeing someone out there. Now Annie's actually out there tapping on my window. That freaked me out.
God.
What's up? Hi, little elf. How are you? Sorry. No worries. Santa is going to drive by our house tonight. Turlock has a Santa fire truck
that comes by. So every good. Year. Are so you kidding?
Annie's keeping Eleanor awake until Santa comes.
That's awesome. I'm down with that 100%.
Yeah, so on eBay, we have buy it now Lorwyn booster boxes for $8.99, like $899.
So wow. That's, so single packs are going to be a lot. Maybe I won't do.
Are about $24 each.
Oh God. Like. Yeah, I probably couldn't do that then. Even
that's
though
what I was wondering, like, do we mix and match the boosters? Is it okay? Like, can you throw in a Lorwyn pack to like the rest of your six packs that week? Like one pack, maybe, I don't know. Like tournament packs existed, 75 additional cards. Remember those? Yeah.
Oh yeah. God. Wow.
$60, $65 for a tournament pack.
For a Lorwyn tournament pack. I mean, yeah. A tournament pack is about four boosters.
That's what I'm saying. Think about it. What's a Dominaria box going for here? Because this will affect like what we choose as a group, right? Like which box. So Dominaria is going for
probably $100.
God, no, 170.
Oh, really? Nah, it was a good set.
Yeah, it was a good set. So, you know, like we'll talk about it. Like it really is up to the team. Like the team forcing Spike, team becoming yeah. Demi out team there in the Discord. Demi. we'll talk about it. Please have a conversation about it because it will affect the rules, and we can take some time this weekend to kind of sort through it and actually like codify it, put like a wiki together or a sticky post up in whatever channels made to support this, so that way everyone can see what's going on.
Yeah,
any volunteers to help run it would be much appreciated. Justin and I both have young children in the house, and I don't know about you, Justin, but work's actually really busy for me over the holidays this year. I don't know why, but it is. So
help for me. I could definitely
I can
run
play.
This
I,
with
I, Chris can play. Justin and someone else probably need to help run the actual
if I could have some help, that would be great. But
so if anyone's experienced running online leagues, I know we've got a few folks in the Discord. If you're interested, we could use the help. That would be much appreciated. So, you want to talk about what we opened? Like, you want to talk about what's in our decks?
Oh my God, yes. Are you kidding?
Do you think your story's better or my story's better? Because, like, my story's harder. Like, which one do you want? Which one do you want to talk about?
Let's talk about your stuff first.
Okay.
I mean, so, I think, yeah, go for it.
It's the scene. It's Wednesday before Thanksgiving. Chris has two Commander Legends booster boxes that he has bought because he was hyped. He hadn't bought paper Magic cards in a year. My wife said, go for it. I was like, great, let's go.
So, I'm going for it.
You know, she was happy because we got a road trip out of it. We had to, my LGS is 40 minutes away. So like we had to go to the LGS to pick him up. And she was like, nice. Oh, cool. Like I get to get it out of the house. Like it was fantastic. Thank you, Chia, for the hookup. Super appreciate it. I'm like picking which box I want to open. And I'm like, this is the one I'm going to open up. This is the box I'm going to get. So I pour a drink and I sit down with you and we start opening booster packs. You can listen to that episode as the bonus episode this week.
That episode is available for those of you who care.
You can hear it all real time. And what cards, Justin, float to the top of your head when you think about Commander Legends? What cards are you looking to open? Like maybe what are the three or four cards you're like, oh yeah, that's in this set. Like
it's probably Jeweled Lotus, Vampiric Tutor, and Mana Drain. Like yeah, those are
not in that box. The box I chose not to open for the league was much better. But I did buy a random collector's booster from Target, and I opened a foil Mana Drain, so that was fun.
There you go.
Not for the league, so I cannot use it. The coolest thing I opened was a scroll rack, which is still pretty cool. Like, don't get me wrong, but
That's awesome. Yes, yes.
I opened a scroll rack and I opened like a bunch of partners, and I got the Mythic Sphinx that lets you take an extra turn, kind of like you get a second beginning phase. So yeah.
That's legit.
Scroll rack and the Sphinx were like my kind of like signals that like my deck should probably be blue. But beyond that, I just had no indication of what to do. No clear synergies. My pile had the Nevenril. How do you say that?
Nevenril.
Thank you. I had the Nevenril legend. So the one that says when he comes into play, you get 2/2 zombies tapped for each creature that died this turn. When he dies, you may pay 1, and then you get
Nevenril's disc.
Nevenril's disc. Thank you. So I was looking for ways to kind of build around that. It seemed like the most potent commander that I opened among like the other multicolored cards that I got. And I was like, cool, let's go for it. Like, we've got good removal in black. We've got a bunch of like mana ramping through the treasure system that's in this set. Blue is a ramp color, apparently. So like, that's a thing like in Commander Legends. Pirates make lots of treasure.
It's so good.
And it's very good. Blue's very good. And
surprise.
Surprise. Islands, best card in Magic. I built my first commander deck, Justin. I sat down and I was like, I'm gonna build around this guy. He's 3 colors. I got commander spheres, I got command towers, I got a scroll rack. Let's go and build a commander deck. And so I sat there, I looked at the professor's video of how to build an appropriate pile of accelerants and answers and wraths and just payoff cards. And I thought I did my thing. And then you handedly whooped my ass in every
game. I was going to say, and then the poor guy plays me first.
So, and, it's sealed. It's still sealed. Like, anything that looks powerful on its own, like, is probably not as powerful as the things that just help you get along in the game. Like, the basic blocking and tackling mechanics that exist are very good, and in this set we've alluded to it, but we realized that the partner mechanic is probably where you want to be if you're building a boxing league commander deck out of the format, because no surprise, you get not 8 cards in your opening hand, you get 9 cards in your opening hand when you play with partners. Yes.
That's quite powerful.
Yes, and like innocuous partner abilities, like you get a treasure every time a pirate deals damage to someone, add up real quick. Like, all of a sudden Justin's sitting there with 12 treasure, and like
I had a lot of treasures. Yeah
it's just like, okay, what's going on? So partners are very good, and my deck was very bad even though I had a good quote commander. So Justin, that was my story. Like, what was going through your head as you were opening your boosters? Like, I went one way. I'm a noob. I got my ass whooped. Everyone kind of knows the end of the story, but like, how were you thinking about your card pool when you were opening it up?
So when I was opening it up, I was looking at the stuff that repeatedly either drew cards or generated mana. There's a very long theory explanation as to why mana rocks and card draw spells are particularly good in Commander. But like, if you take like a Commander deck of just grizzly bears, like forests and 2/2s for 2, and then you take a Commander deck filled with 80% grizzly bears and 20% divinations, the deck with the grizzly bears and divinations will eventually just outcard the deck with just grizzly bears. So obviously, like, divinations are good, right? You can take out some number of grizzly bears for some number of divinations, and that will help you beat a deck that's just grizzly bears.
Yeah, because you run out of cards to play, and like, getting ahead on card advantage is very good. Early out, like, cheating on mana is very good. And doing those things, even if it looks like on the card, like the partners themselves, like, read very like weak. Like, when you look at them as just an individual card, but when you think about what they can do together and how you get that every single game, and it's all about nuts and bolts magic, then you go, oh, okay, like, it's just helping me cheat on this rule And rather than your commander being the payoff, your commander is the engine. I don't know enough about commander to know if that's weird, but like, I always thought the commanders were mostly payoff cards, like not engine cards, but you tell me if I was wrong on that.
No, your commanders are your enablers. Like that is that your, because your commanders, I mean, it can be either, but your commander is just a card that you can count on drawing several times every single game. And that's really, really good. And the other thing is the mana rocks, right? Like mana rock, it's similar to the Grizzly Bears example. If you have a deck that's all 4 mana 4/4s and another deck that is 4 mana 4/4s and a couple of like diamonds, like Marble Diamond, Sky Diamond, yep. Being able to jump from 3 to 4, especially if your deck is like 80% like 4 mana 4/4s, then 10% divinations and 10% like diamonds, you're just going to out mana. You're going to be able to play more lands and like deploy more the extra cards that you're drawing when the other player can't.
Yep. I'll be right back. Hold on.
Go for it.
Annie, what's up? Sorry, Justin. We'll be just a second.
That's okay.
Someone's having a fit.
Yeah. That's okay.
She can't hear you, but you can hear her, I'm sure.
She's okay. Hey, Eleanor.
You're going to miss Santa because you got tired. What do you think, Annie? I got to finish this. That's where we can get it back to the contract.
Sorry about that.
Another source of stress and fatigue.
Yep. Yeah, we're all very tired here.
we are similar. Let's talk about commander. So we were going over my commander lessons. I don't remember exactly where I was going with this. It ends up being your mana rocks and your card draw spells are just much more important than they are in like just other forms of magic than it would be in most limited environments. And the 40 point life total has a lot to do with that.
Yeah. I mean, the games don't go anywhere quickly, and like the early turns, no one's like beating you down. So you can kind of take the time to take a turn off and accelerate your mana. And to help you out, you can get into a situation where like
beatdown just becomes it becomes a lot more about like evasion than it is about actually like playing creatures that are aggressive. Aggressive strategies in commander just tend to be more about like menace and shroud and death touch and just things that make your creatures really difficult to block.
Yeah, because like your opponents need a way to deal with them, and they probably only came with a handful of removal, right? Like 15% of the deck
might be
removal spells, like maybe 15% of the deck's removal spells, and probably less. So that's how you got game one, right? Like I came to play with my enabler or my payoff there, and like you just kind of beat me down with flyers in the air, and I had no way to kill flyers or block them.
Yeah, exactly, right. And so that's another thing about like flying, like. commanders that you can attack with are particularly good because it forces your opponent to waste removal spells on your commanders that you can just cast again. It is an extremely disheartening experience to be on the receiving end of that type of exchange.
Yep. It was disheartening. And like, you know, we were talking about, you had the, you were talking about, like, we were thinking of when you built your deck and you ended up playing as, you know, the Blue Pirates are the thing you want them to do, like, early in the game. And
a lot of the pirates have flying or menace, or can get flying or menace. And I had the blue pirate, Malcolm Keen-Eyed Navigator. So when one of your pirates connects to an opponent, or when one or more of your pirates connects, you get a treasure. And I had the red legendary pirate, Breaches, Brazen Plunderers. When one of your pirates connects, you get to Robber of the Rich Them. You get to look at the top card of the library and cast it.
Yeah, you mean you ended up just stealing every out that I had, like, off the top of the deck.
Yeah,
like, was stolen.
It was
able to play around scroll.
So every,
because, like, I just,
because you couldn't. So you couldn't hide cards on top of your deck the way you want to, sort of, when you use scroll rack.
It was frustrating. It was very frustrating.
Yeah. But what it really came down to was, I even put, like, the 1-mana 1/1 flying pirate and the 1-mana 1/1 menace pirate in my deck, because if they connected, I basically drew a card and made a mana. So I was just like, any pirate I can get, like, I want in the deck.
Totally.
And I literally played every pirate in my red and blue. I played 23 pirates.
That's great. I mean, like, do you think that, like, so I opened all those cards too, right? Like, I have access to both of those commanders. Would that be the right move, just to go build it, right? Like, you know.
Well, so I also got some really bomb like support cards. So I happened to open a number of really sweet blue and red rares, a lot of which dealt with the monarch mechanic. A good, like, an example is, like, that I got an Ember Wild Captain. This is a 4-mana 4/2 Djinn pirate. When it enters the battlefield, you're the monarch, and when an opponent attacks you while you're the monarch, your Ember Wild Captain deals damage to that player equal to the number of cards in their hand. And then I got a lot of sweet blue and red stuff. I also got, like, Furnace Celebration is one. I can't remember the name of the other one. The two enchantments that let you sacrifice permanents to deal damage. Yeah, so Furnace Celebration is, when you sacrifice a permanent, you can pay two. If you do, it deals two damage to any target. So that turned all my treasures into shocks, which is pretty bonkers. I got Makeshift Munitions too. That's one, sacrifice an artifact to creature, it deals a damage. I also got the red... one of the non-pirate creatures in the deck is the red guy that makes the rock tokens. Because you sacrifice the rocks, and it works well with the thing. I got the uncommon pirate lord. I got, I really did get kind of, like, all the pirates.
So yeah, you got all the enablers. I didn't get all the enablers. I didn't get all the payoffs, but I did get the commanders. And I think the point is, right, just because you have the commanders we're talking about doesn't mean you just go build that commander deck.
Like, yeah.
It's not really there.
Yeah. I mean, so, like, I saw it kind of come together when I was opening the packs. But I will say, I think the best way to kind of think about, oh, what deck am I going to make, is to actually take all of your legends out of the box that you opened, and take all of your commanders without partner and look at them and kind of, and you know,
aside, because you, like, should be playing partner if you can.
Well, so right. So that's, like, pick out whatever the best one is, like, or the most fun one, whatever one you think you'd like to play, like, pull or, you know, one or two of those out, and then look at your partners and really look at, like, the different combinations. Because I got two partners that both did something when I played a pirate. There are commanders, like, you'll have partners that both support artifacts, or partners that both care about you playing big creatures, or partners that care, like both care about you playing elves is a really good example. Like I almost made an elf deck instead. It was really close. I had a little more of like, I had a couple more rare pirates. I didn't really get any of the rare elves, so I decided to play the pirate deck. There are like really carefully look at your best like single commanders and your best combinations of commanders. If it is close, I would almost always pick the partner commanders just to have the extra card in your hand.
Well, okay, so like the thing I want to talk about though, right, is that's unique to this set. Like there's no other booster draftable set that has partners. So like, we're talking about companion effectively here, right? You get an extra card in a format where everyone already had at least extra card.
So this is something that can happen in Ikoria. So if you decide to get Ikoria boosters and you open up a companion, right? So you can have a companion
starting with Ikoria as the draft league, like the
sure
box league. That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah. Right. Neat. So like, if you start with an Ikoria box, so you can have your legend, your whatever, you can probably get one of the three color legends. And you can also have a companion, which gives you this really interesting deck building restriction to go with everything
next
else.
Next level thinking.
But
no, it's great, you know, because what are the odds your companion will work with your commander though, right? Like what is
I'm so low, right? But if yeah. you can it is worth trying to do because the extra card in hand is just so powerful.
Sure. Interesting stuff. So I did take another look at my card pool and I ended up taking apart the Nevenril deck and I did build a blue green ramp deck. So I've got Malcolm Kenai Navigator, who we've talked about. That's the guy who makes a pirate token. I'm sorry, a treasure token every time a pirate connects with your opponent.
Yeah.
And I got the green uncommon, Jelandra, Caller of Wirewood. It can tap to ramp you, add a green to your mana pool. When you spend this mana to cast a spell to convert a mana cost 6 or greater, draw a card. All these have partner. So the whole idea is just, you know, use your pirates to ramp into your green spells. And then I've got a bunch of cascade payoffs and tutors just to get like green guys with trample or flying or whatever. Like,
sure.
Yeah. I mean, that's it's dumb, but like it probably gets the job done.
It sounds great. Actually,
it's actually probably terrible in multiplayer. It's probably fine in one-on-one, but we'll see. Next time we play, right? Watch me go like, oh, I need the other deck that I had. I also feel like there are a lot of options once you've opened the boosters, at least with this set, like you do have options. Like I was going through my pile of cards again and I was saying, wow, there's like actually a ton of commander options here that I could go build. So I'm actually really excited between the two booster boxes that I opened to build some kitchen table commander decks and see if I can get Annie playing more frequently with me because I miss Paper Magic quite a bit. And this
yeah.
is a
lot of- and that's really one of the things that really pushed me to get like this commander boxing league done. I was just like, I've got to figure out some way to play some Magic because I love Magic. Magic's one of my outlets for a lot of things, and not being able to actually play Magic has just been a really, really depressing thing for me.
Sure. It's been fun. We can keep this a pretty short episode. I know we got a late start here, but I think this is more about what we're doing, seeing if people are interested in joining us. So if you are, please let us know in the Discord. You do get another bonus episode this week, so I don't feel too bad about this being a short episode because you can go listen to me depressingly open my box. And then, you know, at least, you know, I came out of it in the end. If you listen to
this, I wasn't that depressing. You did great.
You can listen to Justin be ecstatic as he realizes his deck's just like on rails and he can just build whatever he wants.
I can just like, build.
Well, Justin, I was choosing what cards not to play. Let's put it that way.
That's a good position to be in. For sure.
All right, man. Well, do you want to close this out?
We can call it here. Thanks for listening, guys. I'm Justin Sherman. This is Chris Dunn. We are Forcing Spike and we're signing off.
No, man, we are becoming Timmy episode one.
And Timmy, that was absolutely not. Oh, come on. So was that episode 101?
Depends if you count the bonus episode as 101. I don't know that I do. So,
I mean, that's just us kind of opening packs. I don't know. It was fun. It could be episode 101.
This will be episode 101. It's okay.
All right. That's fine.
Is there anything else you'd like to chit chat about? We got done early. Like, I got time if you want to hang out for a second.
Yeah, we can definitely hang out for a second. When you have a platform, you know, I think it's it behooves you to try to use that platform for some good. And I just really want to stress that even though you're tired of coronavirus is not tired of you. And it is more important now than ever to practice to take the proper precautions to protect yourself and others from the coronavirus. It is it's only getting worse. I have a lot of sympathy for people who are having a hard time being away from their families, especially this time of year. I have a friend whose friend I did not know, took his own life just a few days ago. And
oh my God.
I can only imagine what that guy was going through and what his family is going through now.
That's terrible. I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, it is. Check in with your friends and your family, see how people are doing. Because some people aren't doing really well. And it's worth checking in.
The holidays are always tough anyway, right? Like when it comes to that sort of thing. And this year especially. You're either getting pressure from not seeing people or you're getting pressure to see people. Everyone's under an incredible amount of stress right now. And empathy is the best thing we can have for each other. A sense of understanding and I guess like I don't want to say like acceptance 100%, because if people are being like weird about not wearing a mask or whatever, like no, wear a mask, like be safe, like go do that. But
Love of God.
Understanding at least. Like understanding like people are feeling badly about the amount of time we've been in the situation and the amount of time we were going to be still, right? It's
it is truly remarkable.
One of the things we talked about it. There's probably a stinger somewhere on this the series about us talking about it very early on in the lockdown. I just kind of accepted that it's going to be probably a year and a half to 2 years before things get back to normal. Like, and it sucked like real bad. Like when I just kind of figured that out, like for myself.
When you realized that beginning to get better, and I was like, no, everybody's gonna get tired of this and it's gonna get a lot worse.
Yep.
And no, here we are.
It was about middle of May. I was like, this isn't going anywhere anytime soon. Like this is not gonna, like I was like, this is not a couple weeks, guys. This is if it's it's gonna be a percentage of our life spent at home doing whatever. I don't know what that was. So anyway, a lot of folks are coming to that realization around now, or they're just saying F it and like going out and doing whatever. And
yeah, please don't be one of those people just saying F it and going out and doing whatever.
Yeah. If you feel like doing that, talk to someone, right? Talk to your friends, talk to your family, like have the, have a support
play some magic on the spell table. Get a therapist. Oh my God.
I just started back up. Like on a personal I can take time off during work to do it because I'm just at home. I don't have to go to the office.
Wow. That's wild. Good for you. It's worth doing. Take care of yourselves, guys. We want everybody
decorate. Well, enjoy the holidays, decorate, bake something.
That was something that Aaron and I felt very strongly about this year. Is it was super important for us to decorate Even though we might not, I don't know. It seems like, you know, like you could think that it was kind of silly. But
decorate? No way. Like, do it for yourself. That's, like, you're not doing that for people coming over.
Yeah. Right? This year, more than any year, it's like, I really wanted to put lights up on the house. I didn't do it last year when we were 9 months pregnant. But this year I was like, even though Emily's here and it is a bit of a stressor and a hassle for me to take the time out to do this. I think it's really important to spread like good feelings this year for sure.
Did Emily like the lights?
She's kind of like passive about them.
Okay.
She actually much prefers the lights that we put up inside and the Christmas tree to the lights outside.
Sure. So we don't have our tree up yet. We haven't done that one, but I've got, for the first time in my life, lights up in the front yard and on the house. So I did the bushes, the trees, the trim of the house, and I'm going to put some reindeer up this weekend.
That's a lot of work, dude.
Yeah, it's taking a bit of time. But Eleanor, like, every time I take her outside, like at night when the lights are on, mm-hmm. she just starts laughing and can't stop giggling and just she gasps and then starts laughing, and it's just so worth it.
Man, that's like, great. Yeah.
Yeah, it makes my day, like, every time she does it. And last year my mom bought me one of those Christmas villages. So I put that up on the mantle above mm-hmm. the fireplace this year, and like, same thing, Eleanor just laughs and just looks at it and just stares and just starts to giggle, and I'm just like, oh my god, she loves this is great. Like,
see, that's awesome.
Do it for yourselves, you know, like, do it for the people around you in your immediate family circle. If you're alone, you know, do it, like, do something that makes you happy. It doesn't have to be Christmas related or anything, right? Like, it can be something else, but take the indulgences. I bought a frozen pie. I can make a pie. Like, I know how to make a pie. You're probably like cringing that I bought a frozen pie.
But, it does hurt my soul, but well, I understand.
So Annie had written a grocery list for me on Monday. So I go to the store, I do a big grocery stock up, and on the list was molasses, sugar, flour, yams, like sweet potatoes, stuff like that. And I was like, oh, hell yeah, there's a sweet potato pie in my future. Like, this is going to be great.
There you go.
And I get home and I talk about it, and I'm like, oh, I'm so excited for the sweet potato pie you're going to make. And she's like, oh, the sweet potatoes aren't for you. They're for Eleanor. We're starting solids this week. And I'm just like, I was crestfallen. So the next day when inevitably we had forgotten something, I had to go get it at the store.
Yeah.
I just picked up a frozen pie because I'm like, I don't know if I'm actually going to get a sweet potato pie. So just in case I really want something,
I'm going to buy myself a pie.
But for real though, right? Like, absolutely. Like, I was like, I'm gonna do this for myself. This is great. Whatever. I don't care. I'm gonna have a pie on the end.
Yeah, I think it's totally worth it.
Yeah. I was like, you know, it is what it is. Anyway, I'm on the hook to make some cornbread, so I need to go do that. That takes not a small amount of time to make cornbread. Okay.
So, I'll let you make your escape. Thanks for the talk tonight, man.
Yeah, really needed it. Like, honestly, it's been stressful. Work's been busy.
Yeah, we'll have to talk about that a little more.
Yeah, it's fine. We should get a game in this week, though. I rebuilt this commander deck. I mean, whenever, I know it's tough for you out there on the East Coast, but
I mean, I can always, you know, if you can catch me before it's too late. Like, I can always do a game at like 9.
Yeah, like one game, like a 4-player game on Spell Table takes what, an hour, maybe?
Yeah, I mean, unless it's like super absurd, it doesn't take very long.
Like, if someone's like looping or whatever, be like, dude, stop, like, come on, right?
Like, yeah, it's really, it was a little painful to playing the big games. Like, Rahelio has a Tatiova deck that does a lot of tutoring.
You guys played Real Commander. You guys...
Yeah, we played Real Commander. Okay. And yeah, his Tatiova deck. Oh god. Lots of actions. And then he accidentally killed himself. So it was ridiculous.
So, you know who I ran into at the grocery store last night when you guys were playing Commander?
Who?
Rahelio's wife.
Oh, that's awesome.
Isn't that funny? Yeah, they ran into their shell at the grocery store when you guys were playing Commander.
That's awesome.
That's real funny. I had no idea. I didn't check my messages. I had to run errands. And look at us. Look at us, housemakers, making our houses and such, going to the store.
It's too bad.
That's really funny. It all just clicked. It all just connected. I was like, wait a minute.
That's what you were doing.
Yeah. Anyway. All right, dude.
Crying shame. All right, man. I guess that's it.
Yeah. Have a good night.
All right. Take it easy.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.